From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Passover at Gilgal, Feasting on Christ, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. In chapter 5, we find the children of Israel now encamped inside the land of Canaan, the promised land for which they had so eagerly awaited. No doubt they were impatient to begin the conquest of the land, but first there had to be spiritual preparation. First of all, there was a reinstitution of the rite of circumcision. Then in verses 10 through 12, we read of the resumption of the Passover feast, an observance the children of Israel had not kept since the first anniversary of their exodus from Egypt. Before the battle for the land of Canaan could begin, Israel had to be reminded of the relationship between their redemption from the bondage of Egypt and the possession of the promised land. As Dr. Cairns has demonstrated, the New Testament links Israel's reinstitution of the Passover feast with the believers feasting upon Christ crucified as the key to entering into all that the Savior has purchased for Christians at Calvary. For Israel, the resumption of the Passover was an act of testimony to what God had already done for them in Egypt. Similarly, the communion table reminds New Testament Christians of what Christ did for them at Calvary. It is feeding on Christ that makes us fit to enter the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. Then, the reinstitution of the Passover was an act of thanksgiving for what God had done for Israel. Likewise, every Christian can praise the Lord for redemption from the penalty and power of sin through Christ's atonement. Before Dr. Cairns continues this message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. It seems then that Christians may forget Christ. There could be no need for this loving exhortation if there were not a fearful supposition that our memories might prove treacherous. Nor is this a bare supposition. It is, alas, too well confirmed in our experience, not as a possibility, but as a lamentable fact. It appears almost impossible that those who have been redeemed by the blood of the dying Lamb and loved with an everlasting love by the eternal Son of God should forget that gracious Savior. But if startling to the ear, it is, alas, too apparent to the eye to allow us to deny the crime. Forget Him who never forgot us? Forget Him who poured His blood forth for our sins? Forget Him who loved us even to the death? Can it be possible? Yes, it is not only possible, but conscience confesses that it is too sadly a fault with all of us, that we suffer Him to be as a wayfaring man tarrying but for a night. He whom we should make the abiding tenant of our memories is but a visitor therein. The cross, where one would think that memory would linger, and unmindfulness would be an unknown intruder, is desecrated by the feet of forgetfulness. Does not your conscience say that this is true? Do you not find yourselves forgetful of Jesus? Some creature steals away your heart, and you are unmindful of Him upon whom your affection ought to be set. Some earthly business engrosses your attention, when you should fix your eyes steadily upon the cross. It is the incessant turmoil of the world, the constant attraction of earthly things which takes away the soul from Christ. While memory too well preserves a poisonous weed, it suffers the rose of Sharon to wither. Let us charge ourselves to bind a heavenly forget-me-not about our hearts for Jesus our Beloved, and whatever else we let slip, let us hold fast to Him.
In the morning when I rise, Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Just before the break of day, just before the break of day, just before the break of day, give me Jesus. Give me
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com. Thank you.
feeding on Christ is what makes us fit to possess our Canaan. Now, in our Bible reading, there are three pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ as the one on whom we feed. First of all, there's the manna. That was the wilderness food. Christ linked that with himself as the bread of life. He came down from heaven. The manna is in itself a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not trace the analogy any further at the moment, but all that the Bible says in describing the manna is a beautiful picture of Christ, the bread of life who came down from heaven. That was the wilderness food. He led them and he fed them. But then there was the Passover. What does the Passover say? It says Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is our total sacrifice, our total salvation, to bring us beyond the wilderness and bring us into blessing. And then there's the corn of the land, the fruit of the land. That's the fruit of resurrection, because that's the resurrection side of the Jordan of death. That's the fruit of resurrection. There's the threefold view of Christ. I want to be very careful what I say, because isolated in and of itself, as I've indicated, the manna is a beautiful type of Christ. But it's not isolated here. And when you look at it in conjunction with all the rest, the manna had to cease. The manna had to come to an end. Could I say that there was a distinct lack of variety in the diet that the children of Israel had in the wilderness? Oh, they could put the manna to various uses, but it was a very limited number of uses. We are told how it tasted, and it was good. But there certainly wasn't the breadth or the scope that they would have in the provisions of the promised land. Is that not a picture of so many Christians? If you're saved at all, you're feeding on Christ to some level. But there are an awful lot of Christians who are still at the wilderness level. They have a very, very narrow grasp of Scripture. They have a very, very shallow experience of Christ. There's not much variety. There's not much scope. There's not much extension or progress in their spiritual grasp of grace. We need to enter into all that Christ our Passover signifies, not only to be content to be out from under the curse, to wallow in the wilderness until we die, but to be out of the wilderness and into the fullness. Into the fullness. It's our birthright. Oh, that we would get to eat the fruit of resurrection. The fruit of Canaan. How do you do it? How do you get to the fruit of Canaan? By an active appropriation of all that Christ has done for us. That's why Joshua's act of testimony was so vital. It taught the children of Israel that they must enter into Canaan by feasting on their Passover. And so must we. But we must take this one step further. We must see Joshua's action as an act not only of testimony but of thanksgiving. And as such, again, it proclaimed the very same truth. You see, if we have Joshua's testimony, it must give birth to praise. The Passover made Gilgal, which was a place of circumcision, it was a place of pain to the flesh. It made Gilgal a place of joy in the Lord. Put yourself among those people. They would be saying to themselves, we have arrived here by grace. We have reached Canaan by the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, all praise to our Redeemer. That's the thanksgiving. The Passover had in it the element of thanksgiving. That's the way it is with us. We praise God for our salvation. He hath, as I've quoted from Galatians 1:4, delivered us from this present evil world. He has redeemed us. We're like the Samaritan leper. The other lepers, cleansed and forgiven, could go on their way. They were so taken up with the blessing that they forgot the Savior. They were so taken up with their newfound freedom. They could go wherever they liked. They could mix with whomsoever they pleased. They could be accepted again in society. They could go into the place of worship. All these things had been denied to them for so long. They had all these blessings and they were so wrapped up in their newfound blessing that they forgot the Savior, except one Samaritan who turned back to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's the way it ought to be with every Christian. We want no talk of any merit but Christ's merit. We want to give no honor to any name save His name. We thank the Lord for our salvation. I love to sing at the communion table, and I love to groan it to myself many and many a time. The chorus of the hymn that Seth Sykes and his wife wrote so many years ago, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free. Thank you, Lord. Never, never, never let a day pass but that you thank God for saving you. Many a time when I'm in prayer, I stop to think, where would I be today if God hadn't saved me? I think of fellows I went to school with, died before their 21st birthday, and they died unsaved, ungodly, and unprepared. I think of people I was brought up with. They're now in eternity. Some, I think of one young man from a pub by a murderer's hand into hell. Personal friend. I think of others. I was just thinking yesterday of the little group of friends that I have had in Northern Ireland as we were teenagers. Two of those young men have become multi-millionaires. And they're as ungodly as hell can make them. Where would I be today if God had never saved me? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We thank God not only for saving us, but for giving us an opportunity to serve Him. Like the children of Israel, we were lately slaves, but now we're free to serve the Lord. Before us stretches a golden opportunity. And you stop to think of it. Now our lives can really count for something. Your life as a Christian can count for something. You say, preacher, you're talking to somebody else. I'm a very ordinary person. I'm talking to the most ordinary person that you can imagine. You can count for something, for eternity. Though I have mentioned this young man many times before in this pulpit, I'll do it again because I never tire of thinking of him myself, a very good friend of mine, brought up in a very ungodly home with a wicked atheist for a father, deprived from birth of all but the most basic brain power. He could do little more than read, very, very stumblingly. He could never understand deep doctrine, though he tried. He could never do a theology class. He could never learn a language. But that young man has jewels in his crown. That young fella led sinners to Jesus. He took the suicide from the very act of self-destruction and led him to the cross and bowed in the gutters of Belfast's dirty, wet, rainy streets and pointed him to Jesus and brought him home to his family, a new man. That is a life that counts. In that same circle, there were the boys who became the millionaires. If they don't get saved, they'll die, they'll go to hell, they'll bring their families to hell, and their lives have counted for nothing. But the poor young man who had nothing, who could never climb to the heights, his life has counted for God. Grace can give us lives that count. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to serve. Paul said, God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. God be thanked. Many a time when I seek the Lord, many a time when Joan and I have our family prayers together, we stop at this very point and thank God for any place in the service of the Savior. He hasn't given me the biggest church. He hasn't given me the widest influence. He hasn't given me the greatest ability. He hasn't made me the most wonderful preacher. He hasn't done any of those things. But he lifted me from being a slave to sin and the devil. And he gave me a place to serve him. Thank God for an opportunity. We can say like Paul, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. God has a ministry for you. It may not be in the pulpit. It may not be in the foreign field. It may be, it may not be. That's not your business or my business. But he has given you a ministry. He has given you a voice. He's given you a life. He's given you a golden opportunity. Thank God. Thank God for the opportunity to serve him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.